This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about Corridor, Ailman, and Hopewell. And there's a few events happening, but we end the show with a bunch of beer news. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, I'm Nick White.
And here we are drinking local beer, like we do.
How you feeling, man? You back to normal?
I am. I had a bit of food poisoning or 24-hour bug kind of thing that really put a hinder on my drinking this weekend.
I was worried about you, man. I'm like, I haven't heard from Brad, man. I don't know. Something's going on with Brad. I'm glad you're all right, man.
I didn't get out of bed all day after brunch, and it hit me, and then I couldn't get out of there. I was like,
should we just name all the places that you went that possibly could have gotten you poisoned?
We'll leave that up to mystery of where I could have been poisoned at, as I mentioned the places that I did go to this week.
Right on.
But kick things off, we're always drinking local beer there, like I said, and we got the Domestic Buckets from Half Acre.
Yeah, now, I've never seen this one before.
So it's a collaboration between Wiseacre and Half Acre, because they both have similar artists, so they worked together or under each other.
Okay.
And they're good friends. And so they put out this beer. I think it came out about a month ago, I want to say, at the tap rooms. I don't know if it made it to the store or anything.
Yeah. There's like a bizarre collage of like, you know, women in bikinis, men on surfboards, pancakes, sharks, rockets.
All the stuff you love.
Yeah. So there's that. Oh, and everything's in a bucket. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So this is a buckwheat bock.
Yeah.
I think it comes in around like 5.5% or 6%.
Yeah,
right?
6. And I know my bock is something that kind of comes out, you know, like the Chris in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Bock is, I don't think bock's like a seasonal thing. I think bocks are just whenever.
Bocks are whenever. Yeah. Anytime for a bock. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
But yeah, I'm doing this. It's got a lot of great flavor. It's not offensive, like great malt characteristic. Looks fantastic here in the glass, too.
We just want to open a beer and not be offended.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's all. We're simple guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, simple guys. Just want something tasty to drink as we talk about beer.
Yeah, we got things going with the Jukebox Hero.
Oh, yeah, we got that as a little backup or extra beer.
A little Revolution Black IPA.
Yeah.
Not my favorite hero.
Not your favorite
Not my favorite. I think Anti and...
Galaxy.
You know, and Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Galaxy.
Those are some good heroes.
That's where it's at. Jukebox is fine. It's just not my favorite.
Cool. Yeah. So let's jump into this week and all the stuff we made it to. So I made it over to Corridor for lunch.
That's your spot. That's like Cheers for you, man.
I don't know. I like it. It's a good lunch spot. I dig their salad. I dig their burger.
Yeah.
Their beer is always salad. Yeah. I got the, what did I get? The New England IPA.
That's the thing nowadays. And did you see how, and I'm just interjecting, like the, who is it? The Craft the Brewers Association. They've given it an official like classification as a style. But then they're suggesting that it's not New England. Like, NE actually stands for Nebraska. Did you see this shit?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway.
Did they give, like, the Black IPA or the Cascading Dark Ale style?
No.
So they give
the
New England IPA, but not the Cascading Dark Ale?
Which was all the rage, maybe. It is maybe 2014's version as far as, like, the in vogue style was probably the Black IPA, you know.
Yeah, but I don't really like Black IPAs. I don't really like New England IPAs. Just give me a regular IPA, yo. Come on. Simple man. I just want my IPAs to be IPAs.
Yeah, just give me an IPA.
Yeah.
The New England ones, they can be fun, though.
This was a better version of it. It was less milkshake. Because when they come out and you basically are drinking a beer that's like, hey, there's my unfermented sludge.
You don't want a beer that looks like a mimosa.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah.
So I had that. It was fine.
Like, I'd get a mimosa if I wanted a
Come on.
I'd get that, you know.
Yeah. Not with lunch, though, right? but I did make it over to the New Publican for brunch on Saturday.
Anchor,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, just like the other Publican.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the most part.
I still need to eat that. I haven't eaten there yet.
You haven't eaten at any Publican?
I've been to Publican.
Oh.
I haven't eaten.
But you haven't eaten, okay. Oh. So, new spot is much more of a, it feels more like a bar than a restaurant.
Okay.
It feels like you could just hang out there and kind of drink. And
it's right at Six Corners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the kind of couple drinking spots I made it to. I did make it over to Bottom Lounge, too, which I think I've got to give up on Bottom Lounge.
Really?
I got to give up on them.
They got your tater tots there. They got overpriced Three Floyd stuff there.
They got Pumpkin on tap year-round.
They buy Pumpkin. They buy enough to last all year.
Yeah. they had some other beers that weren't good on. I feel like when Bottom Lounge came into the craft beer scene, because it's from Delilah's.
It's the same crew, Mike Miller and those guys. Yeah, that's their second spot.
So he's a beer guy.
Yeah, big beer, big whiskey guy.
And so when they came into the, I guess, scene, they were a place that had a lot of beer. Like, basically, when you looked for a beer bar, you looked for a place that had a lot of different options, so you could kind of try a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, they have a lot. But they have terrible options, especially on drafts. And I don't think their draft lines are very clean or that great. And the service is always kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah. We had, I know the Chicago Beer Society, that's where they've been doing a lot of their Night of Living Ales at that place. We had one of our biggest party there was Chicago Craft Beer Week Party, where we debuted a beer we made with Wild Onion.
Oh,
and
then
upstairs in the volcano room, maybe like 250 people. This is big for us, you know. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, their prices are steep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I went to can beer after my first draft beer. I was like, no.
Yeah.
And I went drank some tuna, drank some Revolution stuff, like just stuff that like is in cans. I know it's fresh and pretty local. I don't want your 2010 Pumpkin that no way you're selling all your supply every year. This could be the same Pumpkin and you just no one ever wants it.
But some people do have a Pumpkin fetish. I am not one of those people. I'll drink it when it comes out. I like mine over the rocks with some dark rum. But that's it. When it comes out, that's all I deal with. They got a weird thing going on there where they get a lot of because it's a concert hall.
Yeah.
And every time I go by there, there's there's always a bunch of teeny boppers lined up. They've really cornered the market on
those
kind of shows.
18 and under shows. So it's weird when you're there with a group of people and there's all these teen girls and then some of their parents are sitting at the bar waiting for them to come out kind of thing.
I shouldn't have had this kid.
Yeah.
Striking up random conversations with you.
Right. so I may have to give up on Bottom Lounge.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I like it as a venue. I like the upstairs part as a venue. But I haven't been in a while. It's been a while.
Yeah. If anyone listening can, I guess, convince me otherwise.
They should do more in that space, man. You know, I remember the guys, they're not there anymore. One of the guys that moved on, he was talking about this festival that he wanted to do every year there that just focused on really big, you know, 11% and up kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, and that would be a good space for something like that and do it in the winter, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the venue is underserved as far as beer stuff goes. You know, I think there could be more cool beer stuff that goes on there.
There could be, if they get their shit together.
Yeah.
Stop having 5 3 Floyds on that we don't want.
Yeah.
That's not that cool anymore, right?
I hear you. I hear you.
Hey, you got Pride and Joy. Whoa.
I hear you. You know, I remember the Fish guys. There's a when they come to town, there's they do a jam session up there in the morning.
Okay.
It's an AM beer festival that goes on there. I mean, but I'm naming the three parties when I think there should just be parties all the time there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was kind of my spots I hit up this past week. What about you? You made it to this awesome event that I had to back out on.
You should have just come, and you know, you would have felt better off of you know, just eating meat day.
No, absolutely Sunday, not.
Would have knocked that knocked whatever you had going right clean out, Brad.
No.
Yeah, I went to the Ailman beefsteak, man. So this is
Out what a beefsteak was?
I did find out what a beefsteak is, man. You know, it's classic, you know, served on toast, you know, and it's basically beef tenderloin served on toast.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you get a little au jus, you know. Okay.
So that's what a beefsteak isn't like the event.
No, beefsteak refers to just, you know, sliced beef over toast with horseradish. Okay. That's your classic.
It's like a mini sandwich.
Beefsteak, like a mini sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this was five courses. This was at Ailman. Ailman is on the northwest side. Apparently, this is like right by my house.
Yeah, I looked at the map. I was like, oh, that's pretty easy to get to.
Yeah, it's like Belmont and Cicero, basically, right? Like right over there. So this is, they have a lot more space than I thought they did. This apparently was a space that Five Rabbit initially was going to move into. And they committed to it, but then they pulled out at the last minute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so they're there. And Twisted Hippo is there, and Rare Earth Coffee Roaster.
Okay.
Which I didn't know who they were, but they're roasting at the space.
Nice.
Yeah. So this was like a Sunday afternoon barbecue, basically. And dude, it was kind of like a perfect Sunday, man. It was really good. Yeah. So you walk in and they hit you with a cigar, and they hit you with some house-made steakhouse jerky.
Okay.
And and cocktails.
Bam.
Yeah. And then it's on after that.
So you could smoke the cigar in there?
Yeah, so they had the patio open, or the patio. They had the back door open, the garage door up.
Oh, so the smoke kind of drift out.
And that's where the guys were grilling out there too. Okay. So, you know, I was talking to you know, the guy, speaking of Delilah's, the former bartender, I would go to the brew bus, we would go to Atlas. And then I would sneak out and hang out at Delilah's. And this is the guy that would always serve me, you know. Okay. And then now he's doing these Redemption whiskey.
Oh, cool.
And he's pouring me his cocktails. He's like, yeah, man, I'm all about beer cocktails. You know what he told me? He told me he figured out that the infected Bourbon Counties, he had an infected prop, an infected rare, an infected original. And mm-hmm. he just made simple syrups out of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, dude, they go fantastic with old fashions. He said he was on WCIU recently for it.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
That was interesting. I didn't really know that, because I got like four infected 2015s. Okay. So I'm like, and I don't know what to do. I just been sitting on them. So
you're like, how do I make simple syrups?
Right. So, and just make some kick-ass old fashions with them, apparently. Mm. So yeah. But it was a good party, man. The guys were saying that, you know, after Slapshot folded, that Twisted Hippo came into the fold, and they just been cranking out beers.
And Twisted Hippo used to be Rude Hippo.
Used to be Rude Hippo. So Rude Hippo was a collab between Rude Boy, which was like a sour brewery, and Twisted Hippo.
Yeah.
And so basically they were two couples.
Things. They came together for a minute.
Yeah, and then they just fell out.
Okay.
But Twisted Hippo is marching right along. You know, this is a crew that Juan Kim would always tell me about, like, hey, you got to meet this couple. They got 24 beers on tap at their house. And you know, and I was like, huh? And then they, you know, and they've been marching along this whole time. Let me look at some of the beers that they had here, man.
24 beers on tap at your house, like
that's yeah.
That's a lot of beer to have
they're,
on tap.
They're dialed in, man. It's a big space too, man. Like you know, like I'd say like a 10 barrel system, 20 barrel fermenters.
Their house or
no at Ailman. At Ailman, sorry. Yeah, my favorite course by far was probably the lamb course number two. These lamb chops with the, and then they had the bone-in lamb shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was pretty lights out.
Nice.
Yeah. What else? Oh, dessert. And dessert was a win, too, because they used, Twisted Hippo has a beer called the Jittery Nickel, which is basically a coffee-infused IPA using Rare Earth. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
No, it sounded like such a awesome event, and yeah, I think a cigar after being sick to any degree is probably one of the worst things that you could do.
I disagree, man.
What?
It was one of those days where, you know,
you were feeling great though, so it was probably awesome.
That's true, but yeah, it was one of those days where I just got into the cocktails way more than the beer for some reason. You know, I think I went cocktail, beer.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
So you were feeling good coming out of there.
It was a win all day long. I ran into Lori Keller, who's she's the taproom manager over at Five Rabbit.
Okay.
And then, you know, Charlie was there. A couple of buddies were there. We all went to Old Irving brewery after that. It's not that far away.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So they don't have a tap room yet, and this is actually the first party they've had there.
At Ailman?
At Ailman.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what their plans for a tap room are, but I think they're just trying to, like, get their bearings and, you know, just work on their recipes.
And crank, get the word out
like,
who they are.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, cheers to those guys, man, because I had a great time with them on Sunday. So.
Nice. And then how was Old Irving? I still haven't been over there.
It was kind of a bad idea. We were a little too slapped. We probably should have just went home. So I just had one and done. I had the Centennial IPA, and that's all I remember. Okay. Everything else was kind of a blur.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but...
Cool. Was that the only...
Proper Sunday right there.
Was that the only thing you hit up for the week?
Or no. So last night I went to Hopewell.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Hopewell apparently does this Monday night beer dinner series.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the fourth one. They hooked up with Nico Asteria. So Nico is part of the one-off hospitality crew. So this is Publican and, you know, who else? Big Star, mm-hmm. you know, that crew, right? Yeah. And, but this is an Italian seafood restaurant that sits in the Gold Coast. You know, when the rest of their stuff pretty much is like West Loop and like, you know, Wicker Park.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
Like that's where it's so this was kind of cool because the Hopewell is in Logan. Mm-hmm. So I think the way this worked out was that the general manager for Nico lives a couple blocks from Hopewell.
Oh, so he wanted to kind of do this thing?
Yeah, so.
So was this dinner just a private dinner or did you have to get tickets?
Yeah,
or?
It was like a pop-up dinner. It was like a $50 ticket.
Okay.
And, yeah, and the Hopewell guys. Oh, the Hopewell guys listened to the show.
Oh, whoa, okay.
Yeah, so cheers to them, man, because we went on a tour.
Good thing we've only said good things about them.
I was like, right on, man. You know, that's pretty cool, you know.
No, yeah, I saw a couple pictures from them, I think, on Instagram, and I was like, whoa, that dinner looks pretty good.
Man, they came out guns blazing, the Nico guys did. Yeah, they were saying that, you know, their menu is something that rotates every 2 weeks. Like, they don't have anything that stays on all year long. The only thing that stays on is the dessert, the olive cake, olive oil cake. But, yeah, they make it a point to just do some fresh new recipes.
Bottom Lounge could take a page from them.
Oh, man. And what else did he say? Oh, yeah, so they have a what do they have? Upstairs, they do a lot of catering. So they have three private rooms upstairs.
At Hopewell or the restaurant?
Oh, at Nico, at the restaurant. Nico, okay. Because, you know, Hopewell doesn't have a kitchen.
Yeah.
But the Nico guys are like, that's no big deal. All we do, a big part of what we do is cater.
Oh, cool.
You know,
okay.
So they kind of made it all seem effortless, you know. It kind of felt like you were at the restaurant, you know. It was like plush and luxurious, you know. And it didn't feel like a pop-up, you know. Even though everything was family style and communal, it still kind of felt like... intimate and, you know, kind of, you know, like that.
Okay.
You know, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I was looking for another word. But.
And Hopewell's space is nice and open and bright. So
and, you know, and that's the thing I was telling him. I was like, you know, I didn't really get it at first. You know, you walk into Hopewell, it's kind of sterile. You know, there's not really a lot going on aesthetically. And then, but you got to see, like, what it's meant for on a night like that. You know, so when you got, you know, your friends coming through. And they're like, yeah, man, we're envious of people that have a kitchen. So... people that we respect that have a kitchen, we invite them to come out. And then, you know, and then the space comes to life, you know. It's meant to be like this kind of saloon kind of place where, you know, you come in and make it yours, whoever you are as a, you know, producer of whatever.
Nice.
You know. So it was good, man. Let's see. The front room, which was a smoke lager, that was one of the dishes, a Saison, Mosaic IPA, and Squad, which was their Belgian.
Oh, okay.
Belgian quad. Might even be a barley wine.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Now you're making me want to stop by Hopewell.
You know, their beers were good, man.
Yeah,
and then what I really dug, one of my favorite things was the cocktail, the intro cocktail that you get when you walk in.
Okay.
Because, you know, they have this drink at Nico where it's like a Campari, kind of a spritzer, you know. And they substituted the tea for a raspberry kettle sour.
Ooh.
That Hopewell makes.
Okay.
Yeah. So things were good. Things were good from front to back. That was a really good time.
Man, you were eating well,
dude,
the last couple of days.
There's a reason why I have three suits at home and can't fit any of them, man. The Hopewell guys, a couple more things about Hopewell, though. They said they're going to do another party like that for Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Okay.
But then also they're the Saison and the first lager, They're gonna bottle. I'm sorry, they're gonna can.
Can, okay. Yeah. So they have space. Are they gonna can at their space there? Or are they?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sounds like they're canning there. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And they have a big system too. They got 30 barrel system, 40 barrel tanks.
Oh okay. Yeah, their beer is around town, so you see it around. So
yeah. So they're in 200 different accounts. Yeah, they were saying that the Hopewell guys, well, the Nico guys were like, as soon as the beer was available, this is one of the first accounts they wanted to get on draft.
Nice. That's pretty awesome.
So.
Cool.
Oh, the other parties were with Bang Bang Pie and Butcher and the Larder.
Okay.
Yeah. And they learned how to brew at UC Davis out in California. So right around, where Sierra Nevada is. Up that way. Yeah. So.
Nice. Yeah, check those guys out there on Milwaukee. A little bit past the theater.
Yeah. There. So right before you hit Diversity and Walker, basically right at the Logan Blue Line stop.
Yeah.
They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Approachable, food-friendly beers is what I would say about those guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that kind of wraps up our week, I think. But we got a couple events happening this week. It is Easter weekend, and Passover is also going on. So there is less drinking events, but it's going to be 80 in Chicago on Saturday, so
Whoa. You
got to be outside drinking, right? There's got to be something going on. If not, make something happen.
Yeah, man, I agree with that.
So what do we got on the calendar?
I don't know, bud. What do we got on the calendar?
I had a couple up here. I know there was one thing. Is it Saturday? Sketchbook is celebrating their 1 year anniversary of their tap room.
Okay. Dude, these one-year things are coming up quick. I was looking at a beer dinner we went to a year ago today. Oh, the Against the Grain dinner at Side Door Chicago. That uh-huh. was a year ago already.
Yeah, so you can go there. I believe it said there was going to be like three different beers on, or three unique beers on, or like special beers. Yeah, so they're special Firkins. Whew. They're IPA and Hefeweizen, so that should be pretty neat. Goes from noon till 4, I think, on Saturday.
Right on.
Then
Sketchbook's up in Evanston.
In Evanston, yeah. And then on Friday is one of our favorite things, the tap takeover with three beers. Alarmist, who we'll talk about here in the news in a minute, they're doing a tap takeover at Patty Long's with three of their beers.
Yeah.
So
More of a light invasion.
Definitely an invasion because that's all the beers they have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
unless Patty Lons only has three taps. Then it's a tap. This is a takeover.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know.
Why am I crushing this paper on during the show in front of the mic?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I got to calm down.
Those are the only really two events that I saw for this weekend.
It's a light week, man. I know Prairie Crafts up in Buffalo Grove, their 1 year anniversary. is coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of a slow week, but
get out there and drink some beer. Right. Baseball started. So you really have no excuse. Cool. Well, speaking of Alarmist in the beer news, there was their tap room opened.
Yeah. How cool is that? Up in Saginaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is apparently the whole district is apparently on the register for historic landmarks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was looking them up the other day. So this is on the far northwest side of the city, not too far from where Chicago Beer Society has their annual summer picnic.
Okay.
Yeah. That's basically up there in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, right where 90 and 94 split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're open just about every day, all day. Mm-hmm. No food. I believe they're only taking credit cards right now.
Really?
So no cash.
Sounds like
complete opposite of other stuff. People are usually no credit cards.
Exactly.
I think they're like, just make it easy.
Solid most like that. Where
no cash.
They don't take cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't let you tip.
Yeah, you can't tip.
They don't let you tip, yeah.
You can't tip.
Yeah. I don't think Haymarket, you can't tip at Haymarket in Michigan either.
You can't?
Nope.
So I don't understand the science behind the no tipping thing. Do you?
Well, the idea is, we're paying our employees a wage that they don't need tips.
Okay.
So there's no incentive for them to have tips. And when it's something like Haymarket where you order at the counter and stuff's kind of brought to you, or even at a bar like Salamoth where it's just it could be anyone getting you your beer. Mm-hmm. Let's just pay these people enough money and not have to worry about like you giving an extra dollar.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Good for Gary Gully and the Alarmist crew for finally opening. I'd like to check that place out maybe this weekend since there's not like, a lot going on.
There's nothing else happening.
Yeah. You
know. And I know he said we can go up there anytime, so we just gotta drive all the way up there and check it out.
Right on.
Yeah. So that's first bit of news. What else we have on the news?
Let's see. Let's talk about Toppling Goliath.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're the crew out of
Sudosue,
Decorah, Iowa. Yeah. So that was such a big success for them that now they're going to distribute King Sue to the Field Museum and the Jurassic World exhibit. So King Sue is basically the imperial version of Sudosue. So this it's the second beer at the field for them, and then it'll be the first beer for them at this exhibit. So this is actually May through January. Oh wow, yeah. So they're Jurassic World is an exhibit at the museum.
Oh okay.
And this beer will be available in Bombers the entire exhibit long. It sounds like.
And you have to buy it there.
Yeah, you have to buy it there though. That's the kick. Yeah.
Tricky.
Sneaky bastards.
Making me have to go to the museum.
Yeah, right. It was deceptively far, that museum. But you know, they just wrapped a really cool like tattoo exhibit at that museum.
Oh, cool.
And you know, the field is a really cool place to spend a day. You know, they got a bistro that's got like 5 or 6 beers on tap. Mm-hmm. They're really trying to up their game. It's a good way to waste time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we talked about Alarmist opening. Cheers to those guys. Pale Pauper Day is back. So this is the third annual Pale Pauper Day. So this is kind of like, you know, this is Microphone Brewing, first of all. And it's a collab with Beer Karma. And what they do is they try to have an alternative event to people that don't want to go to Dark Lord Day.
Okay.
Right? So it's always on the same day. So Dark Lord moved their day this year, so Pale Pauper's moving theirs.
Okay.
Right? So this is May 13th up in Elk. I keep wanting to call it Elk Mountain. But it's Elk Grove Village.
Elk Grove Village. I feel like Elk Mountain's a fake place from a TV show.
Yeah, so this, you know, they're hanging their hat on their IPAs, you know. So this one's going to have 5 different hops and a London ale yeast.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I like the microphone guys, so
that ought
to be a good party.
Cool. Check that out. Same day as Dark Lords. If you don't want to do Dark Lord, do this instead.
Yeah.
Or didn't have to get tickets to Dark Lord, right?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. BrewDog out of Scotland. They sold 22% of their brewery to TSG Consumers Group, man.
Who's that?
I don't know, man. They do a vitamin water. They do some other stuff. They're just like, they're an investment company, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah. So BrewDog is always talking about their punk attitude and how it's important to stay independent. And they got all these shops where, you know, all these bars where, you know, hey, they're just completely... You know, they have this rebel attitude, if you will.
And then they go and do this.
And then they go and do this.
They still out to the man.
I want to see who else is on the TSG consumer catalog. But yeah, so this 22% of their brewery is apparently worth $265 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that evaluates them at $1 billion.
That's crazy. How much, like, Goose Island was only, what, like... Was it 32 million?
Yeah, it was like 30. I was like 38, something like that. It was under 40.
Yeah.
It was under 40 million.
And BrewDog's worth...
That's nuts, isn't it? I mean, now, to be fair, they do have, like, the BrewDog concept is, like, they got, like, 18 pubs around the world.
Yeah.
You know, so they do have the pubs. But, yeah, like, BrewDog, just as a brand, is worth... 22% of BrewDog is worth $365 million. Is that right? Muscle Milk, the TAZ guys. Muscle Milk, a bunch of cosmetics. Yeah, that's a group they sold to. Or, I'm sorry.
Not sold to.
They didn't sell completely.
Got money from for
They
a
got
share.
A cash injection, if you will.
To do something else, right? That's really what it means. They have a plan for something.
Yeah, and they were saying that this is huge for the original investors in BrewDog because, like, you know, if you were an original investor, you got like something like 2,000% back on your original investment, you know.
Wow.
They kind of paid off the original investors, it sounds like.
Oh, cool.
Gave them dividends, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
All right. Well, that's kind of interesting. That's our first, I guess, sale news in a while.
Yeah, right? I mean, I guess that's where we're headed, right?
I guess so, yeah. Any other news before we wrap up here?
Nah, man, that's it for news.
Well, then that's it. for the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's it for this week. We still got some more Half Acre as we sip on that. But yeah, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. We got the Instagram set up now. We've been sharing some photos there as well. But I still think Facebook's the best place to kind of see pictures, see us share events we don't talk about on here, other things we just come across that we find interesting that you might enjoy. So that's at / Chicago Beer Pass. And then the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there, YouTube version, Stitcher, iTunes, everything. And yeah, that'll do it for this week's episode.
Cheers.